Welcome to a special edition of the movie show on Monkeys Fighting Robots. Justice League is upon us, and I had a chance to talk with Ray Fisher about his role as Cyborg. He could be the biggest comic book nerd in Hollywood. Take a listen.
How's it going?
It's going well. Ray, thank you for taking the time to speak with me today.
No problem. Thank you for having me, man.
And you're going back to your hometown in Jersey today for a special screening of Justice League. What's the emotion level going to be in that theater?
You know, it's hard for me to calculate it at this point. I feel like emotions are going to be running high in the best way possible. I think, there's going to be a lot of family there, a lot of teachers who inspired me, a lot of people who believed and given me nothing but encouraging words up until this point. So I think it'll be a feeling of fulfillment. Feeling of the wheels sort of coming full circle, because it's also at a movie theater I used to work at when I was a teenager. So it's hard for me to predict what it will be, but I'm sure it'll be overwhelming.
And speaking about going like full circle, it was announced in April 2014 that you were cast as Cyborg. Do you feel like you just completed a marathon?
I do, in a strange way. I mean, there was a lot of downtime in between all these things, but you know, when you sign up to do this kind of film, particularly one that has the option for sequels, you sign up for a marathon, even if they're happening back to back to back to back. It's been a process for me. It's been about 3 years, you know, obviously from being cast to this coming to life. So, you know, I'm a long game player in general. I don't mind the wait as long as it's something I'm passionate about.
And Cyborg is a complex character. How did you prepare for the battle between man and machine?
Well, I think it's about finding his balance, and it's just like any other sort of adverse situation we as human beings go through. It's Cyborg is a true underdog in that he's had his entire life upended. He's had his mother taken away. He's had his body taken away. He's had his life, that the life that he once knew, completely removed from him. So I think the technology is just a metaphor for that. I think technology is the metaphor for the human spirit and the ability to overcome. And so with the preparation of it all, you know, I've sent all the comic books that ever existed about the character from the 1980s up through the New 52 Justice League, where Cyborg becomes a founding member. So as far as like material goes and being able to craft the character, I had plenty of things to go with. The physical side of it, you know, obviously Zack Snyder, our director, you know, he's known for making sure that his heroes look the part. And so, you know, I ended up putting on about 30 pounds of muscle to portray Victor Stone prior to his accident when he was still a college football player at Gotham City University. So it was a process, but it was one that I really liked the discipline of it, you know.
And speaking of source material, you get to say Cyborg's catchphrase "Booyah" at the end of the film. Did you want to say it sooner in the movie?
Well, no spoilers here, but you know, the catchphrase in and of itself is only, that's specific to the cartoon show. That's actually not comic canon.
Right.
So, you know, there's an ongoing conversation of like, well, you know, how much do you use from the comics? How much do you use from the cartoon? How much do you use, you know, of the character in general? I don't particularly have as much of an emotional attachment to the catchphrase as other people do. It's interesting being able to pull those moments where you see Victor come out of the more technical side of himself, and we're able to see that growth.
I mean, the Teen Titans show is very iconic, and as soon as you said it in the theater, like, the theater erupted with applause. So, I mean, there's a lot of fans that grew up with this character, and it was just really amazing to see that response in the theater.
Oh, well, no, it's awesome to hear. And my first interaction with Cyborg was from the Teen Titans cartoon in the early 2000s. It wasn't until I got the role that I actually was able to delve into the comic book side and his actual origins and see that he was a much different character than that was portrayed in the show. That I think they touch a little bit in the show about, you know, his particular struggles with being half man, half machine, but in the comics they go much deeper, you know, and they ask some pretty hard questions to answer as to what it means to be human.
You mentioned no spoilers. I don't want to give any spoilers, but is there a scene in Justice League where you're like, I nailed that?
No, I mean, I actually don't like watching myself. funny enough, I don't like watching myself in things, because I get hypercritical. You know, of myself and just you know, the work I'm involved in general. So my thing is I'm always looking at, okay, well, this could have been better, do better on this next time, like, you know, making adjustments and trying to continue the craft. But, you know, the things that resonate with people, the audience members, you know, it varies, you know, and that's one of the beautiful things is, like, somebody may say, oh, man, I really, really love that scene. And you may go, huh, I didn't think I did particularly well, but appreciate you saying so. You know, it's art, so it's all relative.
And when you take a superhero role like Cyborg, do you think about the impact you will have on the younger generation?
I don't think it was something that I thought of overtly. I think that was something, it was a mix of things. For me, this is something that I just enjoy in general. This is something that I've loved as a kid, and it's something that I love as an adult, you know, and so it's that personal and professional coming together in that way. It just so happens that the character in and of itself can inspire people of color who feel underrepresented in film. It can inspire people who are differently abled, as Cyborg is an amputee and has, you know, these highly advanced cybernetic prosthetics. I think, you know, playing the character to the fullest and making sure that he maintains a certain level of dignity and integrity with respect to the portrayal, I think it affects people in a way that I couldn't fully comprehend. You hope that people are inspired by the work that you do, and that people that people get, you know, the message that you're trying to put across. But I don't think I could fully iterate the impact.
Have you had conversations about the machine part of Cyborg and like how it'll evolve in future films?
Yeah, I mean that's an ongoing conversation. And what I will say is that Cyborg is comprised of the most sophisticated technology in the universe. I mean, the Mother Box technology, there's nothing more advanced or more powerful. And so as you've seen in the film, he has powers that are evolving as he's trying to deal with his particular circumstances. That's a process that will continue as he becomes more familiar with his technology and more familiar with himself. You know, there are some powers that we express from the comics and some that we don't touch upon that are really popular that I'm looking forward to exploring in the future. It's just a matter of how it all fits into the story we're trying to tell.
And I've interviewed a few actors that have been superheroes in films and villains and stuff like that. But I feel like you just gave one of the nerdiest answers to your superhero character.
You think so? I mean, I geek out about this stuff, and I've been trying to differentiate my geekdoms and all that. You know, I grew up loving these characters. I grew up, you know, playing video games, you know, more than anyone else I really knew. This, to me, is like it's second nature at this point.
I'm a journalist, and we have, like, a code of ethics. I went to school. Like, I have a degree. I'm also a nerd itself. That's why I'm having these conversations with you. This is what I'm passionate about. One thing I don't understand is why the Hollywood media is coming after Ben Affleck when it comes to Batman. No other franchise takes this much abuse. What is going on out there?
I have no idea. I mean, it's really not on me to try to explain what people's motivations are. I think media in general is a specific beast. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I think, you know, people have to sell stories. And so I don't know, you know, I don't know if there's a specific agenda with respect to that. I don't keep up with those kinds of things. Yeah, I mean, I guess it just depends on who you're dealing with. For every negative voice that you hear, you know, there are 10 positive voices who may not be so loud with respect to that. So, I mean, for me personally, I just try to focus on the positive.
Okay, well, let's end on a positive note, because I was at the screening and there was a lot of really good stuff going on there, and Ezra Miller made me laugh a lot. When you were filming the film itself, of the cast and crew, who made you laugh the most during filming?
I mean, it would probably be a toss-up between Jason and Ezra, but everybody, like, it's so strange. We've got so many different personalities coming together. Everybody's got their own sensibilities with respect to, like, the comedic sensibilities, rather. Like, I laughed about probably everything, because it's just it's uncanny. It's just like you're going to work every day and you're dressing up and playing make believe that you're a superhero. You know, like, that in of itself is it's a pretty laughable thing. But there's just a certain amount of joy that Zack Snyder, our director, and Debbie Snyder has brought to the whole process. You know, they made it very clear from the outset. Hey, listen, you know, we're making a superhero movie. You know, we're not. This is it's a labor of love first and foremost. You know, hopefully it inspires people, but you know, it's fun. It should be fun.
Ray, thank you for your time and best of luck with Justice League.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
That was Ray Fisher. His film Justice League is in theaters now. This concludes our special edition of the movie show on Monkeys Fighting Robots. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the interview, comment, review, and subscribe. I'm Matt Sardo, and this is Monkeys Fighting Robots.
Huge savings on new and previously leased furnishings. That's right, huge savings. At Court Furniture Clearance Center, choose from our wide variety of new and previously leased furniture and decor for your home or office. You'll find sofas from $199.99 and more. Everything in our 9,000 square foot showroom is Court certified, guaranteed, and in stock, ready for delivery or to take home today. Visit our Chantilly Court Furniture Clearance Center at 13946 Lee Jackson Memorial Highway or go online at courtclearancefurniture.com. Mention Radio 20 and get 20% off.
Wherever you go, however you go, for energy on the go, it's got to be 5-Hour Energy. It works fast, it works long, it tastes good, and with zero sugar and 4 calories, there's nothing holding you back. Fits your pocket, fits your backpack, fits your on-the-go life, whether you're going to work, going on vacation, or just going out with friends. 5-Hour Energy. Energy on the go. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.